to the Highlands. How many of you here ever went to a church called Crow River Church? Yeah. How about any, did any of you go to Woodridge Delano? That's what it was originally called back when it started, then the Crow River, now the Highlands. Aren't you proud that you're at a church where we're seeing mission effort that touches the world come right out of who we are, making an impact and a difference? Well, a couple things. Want to invite you to, Darla and I are going to be celebrating in August 27th and 28th, 50 years of ministry, 50 years of being married. You'll see events. We really hope a lot of you will come out and join us for that celebration. And then I want to give you a pro tip for today. And that's, you know, for years when Memorial Day came, and, you know, it be just like tomorrow. We're going to have one of our daughters turns 26 today, so we're having her birthday party tomorrow. We'll barbecue and everything like that, and the day would go away, and I never really think about what it meant. And then I stumbled upon a program on TPT, Public Broadcasting. It's the National Memorial Day Concert. And it's on tonight. They do it on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And what they do is they have actors that will act out the experience of soldiers. And then right after that, the actors will go down in the crowd and they will meet with the men or women that served in that capacity. It's just a brilliantly done hour that I really would encourage you to take a look at. I know for me, it helps me to understand Memorial Day a lot more and the sacrifice that people made on our behalf. Well, will you join with me as we pray, and then we'll dive into our talk for today. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we give you praise and honor. We've worshiped you with song. We've heard about exciting things you're doing, how you're impacting our world, impacting Uganda. Lord, I pray that you'd stir in us to go and serve with the school and to make a difference. Lord, thank you for the Highlands Church. Continue to use the Highlands Church. Reach more children and students and adults in this city and the cities all around Delano, that more and more people would know the truth of who you are and all that you've done. Lord, whenever we gather together, there are people that are hurting and going through difficult times. We pray that you would be their hope, that you would be their strength, and that even today as they hear from the Bible, that things will click in their mind and they'll understand in a deeper way. Lord, I pray that everyone here today would be open to you speaking to them in their thoughts as I speak about the part of the Bible that we look at. And then, Lord, we pray that as we close this service singing worship songs, that it will send us off with a sense of joy. We pray it all in Jesus' name, amen. So we're in a series talking about who the church is, and my job today is to talk to you about who the church is, the people of God. And there's just an amazing part of the Bible that I get to talk to you about. In fact, I'm going to ask that we pull it up on the screen. It's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. It says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Next part says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know what I want to do, and if we could leave it on the second part of that. So I want to walk you through just about every word in that set of verses is significant and powerful. Explain what it means, read it to you again, and then tell you what I think it means to you as a church. As Highlands Church, part of Aspen Grove, our four sites, Mercy Hill in Minnetonka, the Foundry in Plymouth, Woodridge in Medina, and the Highlands here in Delano, and what God will do in the future in adding to our numbers. I want you to think first with me about the very last phrase. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That was Peter's shorthand for summing up all that Jesus did in his death on the cross, in his resurrection, and his ascension. And this is what Jesus did. Jesus, fully the Son of God and fully a human being, died on a Roman cross. And when he died on that cross, he took upon himself all of sin, all of shame, all of guilt, all of death, and put it to death. And in Galatians, Paul says, if you believe in Jesus, you belong to Jesus. And you receive all the benefit of his death on the cross. Or another way of putting it, you receive mercy. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you qualified for. You didn't work hard to achieve it. Everyone that's a true Christ follower is someone that at some point in their life, and maybe today's your day, comes to a point and they go, I need God's mercy. And they believe in Jesus, and their sin, their death, their shame, their guilt is put to death in Jesus' death. But then it goes on to say that on the third day, by the will of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was raised to this new supernatural life. It wasn't the resuscitation of a dead body. Suddenly, he had these amazing powers to appear and disappear, to come right through closed doors, through a wall. I mean, something was radically different. Literally, he had taken the form that he will have and has now in heaven. And when you believe in Jesus, you belong to Jesus, and you receive all the benefit of his resurrection. That means the Holy Spirit lives in you. Because the Spirit lives in you, it means you have eternal life. It means you will be with God forever and ever. It means that you are a new creation. And again, all of that is by God's mercy. But one other thing, Jesus, after being with his disciples, ascended to the heavens. And the picture of ascending to heaven is what the king would do, the ultimate king would do. And it says in Colossians that Jesus is at the Father's right hand in the heavenly realm. You know what it says? That your real life, if you believed in Jesus, is hid with Jesus at the Father's right hand. You know why that's so significant? That's the place of all authority. So when you believe in Jesus, you belong to Jesus, and you receive all the authority of his ascension. That's what it means to receive mercy. And even right at the end of the service, if there's something in your heart or mind going, you know, I'm just not sure that's true for me, I'll lead you in a prayer as we close our time where you can just go, Jesus, I need to receive mercy. You know what happens when you receive mercy? Then we were not a people. We weren't connected to God. But when we believe in Jesus, we belong to Jesus, we receive all those benefits, we receive his mercy, and we become the people of God. You know why that's so significant? The word for people is how in the Old Testament the nation of Israel was described. They would talk about Gentiles as the others, but Israel as the people. And what Peter is saying there is we become God's people. We have an identity that supersedes any other identity that we have. And really, the first part of these verses is all about that. So if we just back up one slide and go to the first part of those verses, I want to just walk you through what that says. The word but means something in contrast. Before that, Peter was writing about how you could stumble over the stone of Jesus. In other words, not everyone will believe. But he was confident that the people he was writing to had believed and now belonged to Jesus. So he goes, but by contrast, you are a chosen people. God chose you to be part of his people. Can you remember times where you were chosen? At recess when you're a kid and they're breaking up sides to do, play football or basketball or some other game. And they get the captains up there and the captains are picking. And you're just going, oh, please don't let me be the last person. And somebody calls out your name, and maybe they call one kid and he's really tall and strong, and you go, that makes sense. But they call you next. And you feel like you're special because you were picked to be part of that team. Well, if you've believed in Jesus, you belong to Jesus, you've received mercy, you've become part of the people of God, and you've been chosen. There's a reason why you're here at the Highlands. There's a reason why you're alive in this particular time. You're part of a people. You're part of a team. Goes on to say, a royal priesthood. You know what royalty implies? Authority and power. So like I mentioned, because of Jesus' ascension, he is the ultimate king at the Father's right hand, the place of all power and authority. And you know who has power and authority? You do. You have power and authority. You have power and authority to petition the God of the universe to make spiritual impact and change the situations of life all over our world. And you know how that power and authority is exercised? Not by military might or government decree, but through prayer. I think one of the sad realities is so many of us don't pray. We're not even sure what we should pray for. But literally, when you pray, you can pray with power and authority, knowing that you can claim God's will and purpose to be at work in our world, in the lives of people, in situations that we face, in difficulties, in all those areas. That's what it means to be royal. Goes on to say a royal priesthood. Now, we don't understand a lot about the priesthood in a sense. What he's referring to is the Old Testament priesthood. You know what the Old Testament priests did? They were a group of people that were representing God to the people. They were standing in the gap for the people. So when he's saying that you're a royal, you're people of power and authority who stand in the gap for the people, stand in the gap for the world, stand in the gap for the hungry, stand in the gap for those that don't get an education, stand in the gap for those that don't have clean water, stand in the gap for people that haven't yet had a chance to hear about the good news of all that Jesus has done. It's not about some hidden religious activity. It's about caring for people. It's about connecting people with God and connecting God with people. So you've received mercy. You're the people of God. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Holy means set apart. In other words, God set you apart, this group of people. Here in Delano, the Highlands, Aspen Grove, his church, were set apart for a purpose. And then it says, God's special possession. You know what that language is about? God's special possession is just to tell you that you're deeply loved. God loves you so much that whenever he thinks of you, he thinks of you as his special possession. And then the other word that I just need to tell you is that word you. It's you in the plural, not in the singular. It's you all. Peter's going, you all are a chosen people. You all are a royal priesthood. You all are a holy nation. You all are God's special possession. And then he says the reason why. That's when it says that. So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, when you receive mercy and your sin, guilt, and shame is put to death, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, and you realize your real life is hid with Jesus at the Father's right hand, when you embrace that new identity that you have, you're living in light. And you are the light. Jesus said we're the light of the world. And we live that out when we sing out God's praise, when we live out God's praise, when we serve God's purposes and make a difference in people's life. So the question I have for you as you entered in today is, do you understand your identity? Because if you don't know your identity, then you're not likely to take advantage of it. I had a friend who was a church planter. He was out in Arizona, and I was talking to him one day, and he said the strangest thing. My wife was doing genealogy, and she found out that she's like the lost, unknown princess of a province in Poland. And I said, what do you mean? She's the princess there. And when they found that out, they want to bring her over. And then they went over and they thought it would just be like kind of a tour thing. No, they wanted to honor her. They wanted to listen to her. They wanted to find out what she thought because she had been she was royalty to them, a lost royalty. And he kind of, in addition to doing his church plant in Arizona, suddenly started doing all these trips to Poland because they'd go to Poland and military leaders and political leaders and mayors and everyone else would gather together where there was a problem for the gospel to advance in a particular community. She'd show up and they would listen to them in this province and area. But see, none of that was realized because she didn't know her identity. Well, do you know your identity, Highlands Church? Do you know that you've received mercy? Do you know that that means you are the people of God? Do you know that that means you are chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession? And that he has unique work for you to do that will make a difference together. Now, how are you going to find out what that work is? You know what I've always found? You pray together. You pray together and God shows it to you. So I would encourage you all summer long to just be praying for your church and praying with other people and say, God, would you show us the unique way that we can sing forth your praise? I mean, doesn't it seem absolutely amazing that Brian Royal has an interest in Uganda and has done wells in Uganda and has trained welders in Uganda. And here we have someone who's grew up in Uganda, who lives in Delano. I mean, it's just a remarkable story. Do you know, a few years back, we were praying about adoption and fostering, and Aaron Sorensen, the lead pastor of the Highlands, said, you know what? I think we should set a goal. And I said, Aaron, what do you think it should be? And he said, well, I've been praying about it. And we prayed together. And you know what the goal was? To adopt or foster 50 children in 5 years. A couple years ago, when I realized the water crisis in the world in just a deeper way, and that for $50, you could save a kid's life. They would not die, and they would have clean water for the rest of their life. And all the other things, they'd probably get to school. They'd hear about Jesus. They would end up eating better. That so many good things that would happen in their lives for that. And I just started praying, Lord, would you raise that up in Aspen Grove? And you know, last weekend was just a highlight for me in so many ways. We had 308 participants from all of Aspen Grove, every one of our sites, and friends that people had asked to join in. And we did the 6K, and you know what? We raised over $50,000. We saved over 1,000 lives. I mean, is that amazing or what? See, that's about a people that declare his praises and call things that are in darkness out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know, I started praying, and I'll just, next year it's on May 16th. I know all of you here probably can either walk, scooter, or ride in a golf cart, 6K, 3.7 miles. And you know what my dream next year is? 1,000 people. And we'd raise $100,000. And we'd ask all kinds of people from our community around every one of our Aspen Grove sites. Maybe we do 3 or 4 of them, one at each of our Aspen Grove sites. And we make an even bigger difference. Why do I have a confidence in that? Why do I think that can happen? Because we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen people. We are a holy nation. We are God's special possession. We have power and authority greater than any power and authority that could ever be imagined, because we have received mercy. So if you believe all that is true, remind yourself that's your identity and live into it. Will you stand? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close our service in worship. And as I pray, I'm going to pray first about receiving mercy, because if you're here and you go, you know, I love the dreams of what we could do together. I love what we've done together. I love that description of all that God has done for us, but I'm just not sure it's mine. The Bible teaches that all you need to do is acknowledge your sin, turn to Jesus, and just with a mustard seed, the smallest seed of faith, just say, Jesus, be my Savior. Be my leader. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. If you need mercy today, you're not sure where you stand with God and with Jesus, just simply say, Jesus, you know my sin. I acknowledge it. I turn from it. I turn to you. I turn to the cross. By faith, Jesus, would you join me in your death on the cross? Would you join me in your resurrection? And would you join me in your ascension? And would you let me become a person that has received mercy, a person who is a person of God, part of this royal nation, part of this chosen people, part of your special possession. And then, Lord, for all of us, would you remind us of our identity? And would you let us, because of that, petition you to show us what's next? What do you want us to be about in dispensing the darkness and bringing your glorious light? Let that happen even now as we sing out your praise. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Quiet in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the sea.